He and I have a rhythm and a routine here in our humble home, and that morning he was messing it up. See, he comes in at 7:12 every morning on the nose. I hear his boots hit the floor. I make the coffee. He washes the pasture off of him, and we take our toast to the patio. That's our thing. He's a quiet man, likes the one-word answers, that one. And then he's off to bed. He keeps the herd at night. Oh, how my parents looked at me when I told them that I'd fallen in love with a shepherd boy. But that's a story for another time. Or never. But that morning, there were no boots, only quiet. Quiet like my husband. Before I could get to the front door, it slammed. It was loud. It was different. As if the front door knew something I didn't know. My husband yells for me. He yells for me. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's lost the herd. He's out of breath. He's saying my name as he takes my face in his big hands. His eyes, they're full of fear. No, awe. Tears are running down his face, and he can't stop talking, ranting about this bright light that fell out of the sky and angels. Yes, that is what I said, angels, hundreds of them all over the field proclaiming good news. But what did he mean, good news? Now I know my husband, the shepherd. He will never hold the scepter of a king, never sit with dignitaries to solve the world's problems, never even be invited to a meal where he has to wear a suit. But he was given the greatest edict in all the land, all the world, actually, called to the front lines by God himself to proclaim this good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I can say it in my sleep now. I can see it sometimes too. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God was pleased with my husband, the shepherd. His boots hit the floor a little later on these days, and that's okay. Because he is telling anyone who will listen the good news.
You know, in most of our homes, we have a nativity set, and I kind of grabbed this one off of the Welcome Center out here. And in that nativity set, there are all kinds of characters which we have been looking at and examining and looking into their lives. But many of the characters we've been watching, like the shepherd's wife, aren't in this picture right here. That's because they weren't at this, however, they were a part of it. And you think, as we've been talking about the Christmas story, and we've been reflecting on all of these people who were a part of it, but yet the people who were behind them. And it goes clear back to the first one we watched, which was Mary's mother, the grandmother of Jesus. And we talked about that. We talked about how these are real people with real families and real stories, just like you and I have real families and real stories. That is what's going on here. We're talking about God's work in the lives of people who are just like you and I. And so when we think about Christmas, I don't want you to be thinking that these were special people. Well, they were, okay? But they were just ordinary people also, and they got to witness God's majesty. So in order to do that this morning, I want us to read the Christmas story, and I'm going to have it on the screen up here for you. But as we read through this, I just want you to remember these are real people. Just like if God were to come to you right now and tell you to do something by an angel, you would respond in the same way they responded. It says here, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, I think we're seeing here in this particular passage a little bit of God's social media. Now, he didn't use those terms back then, okay? That's a term we've coined for the 21st century, social media. But really, social media is a way that relationships are formed between people, and we make announcements to people anymore. Well, God used some very special social media skills here, and he sent his angels from his throne to a group of people that were human beings on this earth. And you know, they were shepherds. It says they were living out in the fields. This is where they lived. They lived out in the fields. They worked out in the fields. And God sent his angels to them. Can you imagine that night when they're out there working as they normally have done over the years? For hundreds of years they'd been doing this. And all of a sudden, a huge spotlight just comes down and stands in front of them and starts to talk to them. And isn't it interesting that when the angel comes to these men as well, that they have the same response everyone else who has received a visit from an angel has, which is they are terrified. They are scared to death of what's going on. And the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid." Right. Don't be afraid, okay? You know, we just had a derecho or a tornado or something come through here last week. My question is, were you afraid? Okay, yes. How many of us went to the basement? Yes. Okay. It was kind of a scary situation, wasn't it? Okay. And yet, that's a natural phenomenon in a natural world. And although we haven't seen many of those things lately or in our lifetime, when they come, it scares us to death. Well, this is a supernatural phenomenon entering the natural world, and you can't understand it, and there's only one reaction to it. That is fear. Fear and terror. And yet the angel says to them, "I want you not to be afraid, because," this is the reason, "I bring you good news that is great joy for all people." And then they say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior is born for you." Did these men understand what they were hearing? Well, I believe they did. I believe they understood that this was indeed good news, because they had for many, many years understood that the Old Testament spoke of a Messiah. Now, a Messiah is the Christ. Okay, those two words are, one's Greek, one's Hebrew. And the addition of those two words says there's a Savior necessary for the salvation of men. Now, these men who worked out there in this field, they were what we call priestly shepherds. That means they were not priests, but they worked for the shepherds. They worked for the priests, and so they're priestly shepherds. And they were preparing the lambs that would be sacrificed every day in the temple. So We don't understand this, but let me explain that every day in the temple, the Old Testament said there's to be a sacrifice of a lamb in the morning and a sacrifice of a lamb at night. So that's two per day, lambs, okay? And that's to happen 7 days a week. So every day for 7 days, there are two sacrifices. And then on the Sabbath day, there are two additional sacrifices. So that comes up to 16 lambs that are sacrificed every week that comes out of this flock that's by Bethlehem. That's what these men are doing. They are providing the sacrifices necessary for the sins of all of Jerusalem and all of the Israelite area. And when they hear that there's a Savior coming to save them from their sins, they understand something special is going on. And so the shepherd says to these men, says, I'm going to give you a sign. And that sign will be that you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths or in swaddling clothes or in strips of cloth, and he's lying in a manger. And for years I have read this and I thought, you know, that's just the way it was. That's the way they birthed babies back then. And it probably was. It probably was that when the baby came out, they would wrap the baby up in cloths and they would put it in a tight area so the baby wouldn't flop around. However, there are some other things that we don't understand, and that has to do with the shepherds. You see, the shepherds birthed these lambs, and they had to have a lot of them. Think about it. That's 835, if I have my math right, sacrifices in a year. So that's 835 lambs that have to be birthed. You know what the size of this flock? This is a huge flock of sheep, okay? I looked up this morning thinking to myself, well, I can figure out how many lambs are going to be born and how many ewes you would need. And it's kind of like, you know what? Just divide it by two, okay? So you got 400 and some 500 different lambs out there. And not every lamb can be used as a sacrifice, because the sacrifice of a lamb has to be unblemished. That means no bruising, no bad spots on the fur, on the wool, excuse me. And so these lambs, when they were born, they would be taken from the mother, examined, and then the ones that were unblemished, they would wrap in a swaddling cloth, and they would lay them in a manger. The lambs. I'm not talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the lambs. The lambs would be put in this manger. Now, the other thing you need to know is the manger is not a wooden manger. Okay, there wasn't a lot of wood in Palestine at this time. There just wasn't wood, and so, but there was an abundance of limestone, and so they would carve these mangers out of limestone, okay? And so they would lay the lamb in the manger until it stopped shaking and stopped and got calm again so it wouldn't bruise itself. And so a lamb that is wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger was a symbol of what was going to happen to that lamb. That lamb was going to be a sacrifice for the sins of men. And so when the angel says this to them, it's not only pointing out where it's going to happen, where you're going to find this baby, but it's also pointing out to them that this is a lamb that's going to be sacrificed. And why would that mean anything to them? Well, it could mean that they have been thinking about Isaiah 53. It says here, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. This is talking about the Messiah. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrow that weighed him down. And we thought that his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away, and no one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it is the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants, and he will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. And when he sees all this is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied, and because of his experience, my righteous servant my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sin. That's Isaiah 53. That's a passage these men would have heard. Now, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a scroll. They probably were not able to read. And yet, at the same time, they would have shared these words from father to son, from son to son, on down the line. They would have known Isaiah 53 because they were looking for the Messiah. They were understanding this is who is coming. And so when these angels came and they announced this good news that a Savior for the sins of men was coming, okay, and then they ended it with this glory, this great company. So there's one great big spotlight, okay, and now you add to that hundreds of great big spotlights that just lit up the entire pasture area. Can you imagine what these men were thinking at that point? Glory to God in the highest, these angels said, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. You see, the shepherds were the witness. They were the witness of God's majesty, of God's glory, of God's good news. And it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go find out if the sign is there. And it says, they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. These were the witnesses of what God had already done. The majesty of God was being witnessed right here. These men had the opportunity to share the good news of what was going on. It's the same good news that we have. In other words, we have seen the majesty of God in our own salvation. If God has saved you, God has done a miraculous work in your life. And we now get to share that with the people who are around us, that it is the hope of our eternal life, a hope of life forever with God. And that's what these shepherds were saying. We've seen the glory of God. We want to tell you what it was about. You see, there's a Savior who's been born in Bethlehem, and he's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to save our people. He's going to relieve Israel. He's going to lead Israel like the King David. We see God's glory in all these things, and these are the last verses of this particular passage, and it says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. To put them into our hearts is something we ought to do. To meditate on what God is doing among us, okay, is really important. And at this Christmas time, you know, I've asked people, we've read through the Christmas story in a couple of our small groups, and I've asked the question, so what in this Christmas story really stands out to you that you kind of would take home and you'd think about during the week? And all of us kind of had to think, you know what, I'm not sure that there's anything new. You know, there isn't anything new. But it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the glory of God that a man, that the Son of God would come and take on the flesh that we have, be born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger, just like the lambs who were going to be sacrificed, that foretold exactly what was going to happen to him 33 years later, that he died for the sins of mankind to pay for our sin, not his own sin. And it is the glory of God that we see there. And these shepherds, says, they returned glorifying and praising God. They were glorifying God. They were praising him for what he had done, and they were allowed to see. You see, that's God's good news, that he has saved us. And we also have the opportunity to share that with the people that are around us. So as we think about what God has done for us, and we think about the real lives of these people that are here, understand, they were busy people too. They had lots of things going on in their lives, and yet they took the time to go see the child and then to share the good news with the people they came in contact with as they were walking back to their fields. And those people spread the word from there. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you have given us the privilege of seeing the supernatural come into the natural world through Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize that and we rejoice in it. We give you praise and we give you glory for what you have done in our lives, Lord, for you have saved us. You have saved us from our own sin by the sacrifice of your Son, who was the Lamb of God, prepared before the foundation of the world and delivered to the world at Christmas time. Father, thank you for these shepherds who were willing to do what you asked them to do, to just share the good news. Would you give us opportunity, Father, to share the good news with the people that we come into contact with? In the name of Jesus, we pray.